Today we have the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. And as is our custom, we read the parable of the rich fool. Now, the setting of the parable has a brief dialogue which comes before the parable, which again offers as a setting to the parable. And it's this. Someone said to the crowd, "Speak to my brother so that he will divide with me the inheritance." But he, Jesus, said to them, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbiter for you?" Our Lord then gives these words to the crowd. "Watch and be on guard about covetousness, for because a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." And from this foundation, then, he gives us a parable, and I'll read it again. "And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said to them, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is for he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Now the parable speaks to those whose portion in this life is of the world, as it says in Psalm 17, the Septuagint counted 16. The fragility of life, possessions, and position in this world system should remind us of this admonition found in Psalm 90. "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." Now, it's my assumption here that if you're over 30 years of age or thereabouts, somewhere in your, at least in your third decade of life, you'll realize that you are mortal. You're going to die. Now, if you're a little bit younger than that, that may not register to you yet. But even then, you're going to die. Now, we have also, if you're a little bit older in life, you know there are no guarantees, right? You've been around the block a few times. There are no guarantees. And for each one of us here, myself included, I have no guarantee that I'm going to make it home alive today, right? Now, for those of us assembled here, it is also my assumption that we have more in mind than our portion in this world. If we've gathered together here, it's because we know there are things beyond this physical, material realm. We are not filled with only material and secular thoughts. We want God. We want His light and His life to be in us. We want His mercy and salvation to be ours. Yet, as with our mortal lives, things can be very perilous. Now, none of us here that I know of is a monastic. I have my reading glasses on, so things are clear. I don't see anybody in a monastic garb out here. So even though we're here, not just counting on our portion in this world, we have careers, we have jobs, we have investments, we have property, we have land. Now, given today's gospel, we have to realize that these material things, these investments, these things of the world system can also be taken from us in a moment. The markets are fickle. The markets are perilous, no matter how you invest. But in these days, I think things may even be more perilous, for we live in a very treacherous, unnerving, strange landscape. This landscape in the past 3 years is something I cannot recognize. And just a few years ago, I would think of as unimaginable. Things are very, very strange, and things are very, very perilous. And for whatever the causes, all these players, all these power elite, I tell you, they do not have our best interests in heart. It says in the Psalm 145, put not your trust in princes, in sons of men, in whom there is no salvation, because they can take it away from us in a moment. I watch a lot of British news. They have the same struggles, the same conditions. It's just nice that they have different names and we can't get all riled up about it. But in Britain, the home of our political system, really, the home of our idea of Jewish jurisprudence, they are seriously floating the idea of having a digital national currency. Not Bitcoin, not anything like that, but a digital national currency. All cash wiped out. That means when you're paid in England, if this goes through, they will have access and knowledge of every transaction you're making. And they are talking about having a digital credit score, just as they have in communist China. So that means they can come knocking on your door. They can demonetize you if you don't do what the government wants you to do. Put not your trust in princes, in sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. Now, our days are not unique. There has been wilder times, crazier times throughout the world, in the Roman era, in all times. And we are giving these prayers in our divine liturgy. And they are very important in these days. Every little litany, we have this. Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by your grace. We pray for seasonable weather and abundance of the fruits of the earth and for peaceful times. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray that we may be delivered from all affliction, wrath, danger, and necessity. Let us pray to the Lord. And we also pray for the well-being and the peacefulness of all civil authorities, even though we are not to put our trust in princes and in sons of men. Now, in other Orthodox countries, in other Orthodox times, they prayed these prayers as well, but yet trouble came for them. I think of the Bolshevik era. The faithful were praying these prayers, and yet the horror and the tyranny, the cruelty of the Bolshevik state came crashing down upon them, making them, many of them, confessors and many martyrs. Put not your trust in princes, in sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. We pray these prayers, and we better pray them from our heart. Yet, given the parable today, we have to be certain, we have to know that things can change in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. And it's at this time when these things may be demanded of us that we too may become confessors, hopefully never martyrs. So what would descend on us is a situation and a setting of chaos. Of chaos, when everything is upturned. But even in chaos, there is always hope. And I turn back to Genesis, the first chapter. And in all my seminary writings about this, going into the Septuagint text, I find that scene is a scene of chaos. A scene of chaos, which needs to be redeemed. And it comes primarily from the actions of the Holy Spirit, the Greek word in the Septuagint, epipherein, which means to come upon. It means to brood. And it also has a legal sense to it, a sense of pronouncement, because something seemed to have happened. But not only pronouncement and judgment, but the Holy Spirit is praying as he's hovering over the waters of the deep. And as he's praying, he's making promises to the creation of which he has given charge. And from that brooding, from that hovering, comes the separation of the waters. The manifestation of the star, the sun and the stars in the sky, the moon. The establishment of the creatures, our fellow creatures, and even the establishment of us. His image bearers, his vice regents. So even if chaos, the unimaginable, comes upon us, we can be certain. We can be certain that God will be working in us. God will be hovering over us. God will be working his salvation in us, even in times of chaos and trouble. So as we pray these prayers, let us also consider some of the words from the Psalms. Psalm 100, according to the Septuagint accounting. I will sing of mercy and justice to the Lord. I will sing. I will give heed to the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is base. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Perverseness of heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Conduct ourselves in that way if this should come up. But even if it doesn't, let's be in preparation by living this way. And when and should chaos come upon us, let's also keep a worshipful mind and heart. I read this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The parable gave us a warning of vigilance. Gave us a warning to live mercifully, to give us a warning to be rich to God, to be rich to others, especially those here. And in every day, even our peace and our serenity of this day, we always have to keep this in mind and do this. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all things. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.